44. Nathan. Nathan had just enough time to find his own shower and fresh clothes before the hour was up. Fortunately, one of the officers' quarters on the carrier had already been designated for his twin and stocked with both utilities and dress uniforms for the General of Edenrise. He emerged from the island of the USS George H.W. Bush with 5 minutes to spare. Pyro walked beside him, dressed in combat armor and carrying her helmet against her hip. A small selection of soldiers walked behind them in combat armor of their own, the most elite of what remained. They marched across the deck, past the rotting corpse of the Jaxcluth, to where the rest of the surviving soldiers had gathered, only a short distance from the dropship. There were only about 100 of them in total, a depressingly small group of men and women, many of them sporting bandaged arms or foreheads or other minor injuries. Even so, they came to stiff attention when Nathan approached, standing proudly for their leader. Nathan walked past them, climbing onto the back of the resting Badger to be seen by all. He had a comm in his ear that would broadcast out to Pyro's helmet, which in turn would transmit to the Bush's comm across the Truxton. She had managed to locate 2 surviving engineers to help her set the system up, as well as check on Nathan's armor and effect simple repairs. A similar number of soldiers on the other side waited for his instruction. He looked to his right, finding the other carrier floating half a kilometer away. Both ships were still cruising toward open water, and from there, north to what he hoped might become a temporary safe haven.
"Space Force,"
he snapped, getting their attention.
"Hoorah!"
they shouted back in reply. It was pitiful compared to their last muster when nearly 6,000 soldiers were organized across the field.
"I'll keep this short and simple."
He looked out at the soldiers, able to pick them out by faces.
"We lost a lot of good people today, both members of our family and citizens of our city. We're tired, hurting, on the run. But we're here. We're together. And with your help, we can restore Edenrise."
"Hoorah!"
"Early counts show 6,000 here on the Bush, another 2,000 on the Truxton, 8,000 survivors, 8,000 people who are still depending on us to provide protection and leadership in the days ahead. I can't tell you those days will be easy. As you've seen, the enemy is upping the ante and escalating the fight. You know what we say to that?"
"Fight back!"
the soldiers shouted.
"That's right. We'll fight back. We'll protect our own and we'll rebuild. I see Lieutenant Locke." "Lieutenant."
"Sir, yes, sir,"
Locke said, remaining at attention. He was short and muscled, his uniform bloodstained, a bandage over his left eye. Wounded but present and eager to serve.
"From what I can tell, you're the second ranking officer on this ship. That means the Bush is your responsibility."
"Yes, sir. Thank you, sir."
"Captain Coy is the ranking officer on the Truxton. He's in charge of both his ship and the entirety of the settlement. Understood?"
"Yes, sir,"
Locke replied.
"As you know, both ships are home to well-equipped armories. It is the duty of every remaining Space Force soldier to continue to defend these ships with their lives. They are our home for the immediate future. Locke, Coy, I want you both to designate units to begin conscripting from the civilians and teaching them how to use our available weapons. The only people who are exempt are those too injured or elderly to fight, and no more than one parent or potential caretaker for any children who are newly orphaned. Understood?"
"Yes, General,"
both Locke and Coy replied.
"Good. Your orders are to head north. Stay well clear of the shore. These new alien creatures aren't affected by water the way the Trifar, and will likely attack if they get visual. We're relatively safe out to sea, but we can't stay out here forever."
"Sir," Locke said, "what about the weapons cache?"
Nathan expected the question.
"As you can see, I have a unit suited up and ready to go. I'll be joining them in a recon of the weapons cache. If at all possible, we'll begin to recover some of the ordnance to assist with defense."
"Yes, sir,"
Locke replied.
"How long will you be gone, sir?"
"I don't know. As long as it takes."
He paused a moment, waiting to see if anyone else would ask any questions. They didn't.
"Most of you came to Edenrise from outside because you were looking for something better than mere survival. Losing the city and the protection of the energy shield is a blow to all of us. But Eden Rise is bigger than a place. It's bigger than a shield. Its value is in its people. All of you. If you think of something that should be done, bring it to Locke or Coy. If you see something that needs to be done, do it. It's vital that we remain focused on the tenets that made Eden Rise great. Loyalty. Honesty. Trust. Freedom. I'm counting on all of you.
Hoorah!
Locke, you have the ship.
Sir, yes, sir,
Locke said. Nathan jumped down from his perch on the Badger. Locke was already shouting orders, finding his next in command and reorganizing the soldiers into units. He smiled as he headed to where the unit he'd gathered was standing. Pyro came up beside him as he walked.
Nice speech, General, she said.
I didn't know I had it in me, Nathan replied. Liberators, with me.
He passed the unit, led by Sergeant Walt, a broad woman with a large tribal tattoo over the left side of her face. It was a new designation, one he had based on the USSF logo and its meaning to him. Freedom, perseverance, strength, power. He hoped the small group could live up to the name. They filed in behind him, tailing him into the dropship. Caleb was already waiting for them in the cargo hold. He had cleaned up well, a model physical specimen in the utilities he had found.
Sergeant Card, Nathan said.
Caleb came to attention, submitting himself as subordinate to him. Nathan motioned to the cart Private Jeffs was pushing.
I've got combat armor for you. I trust you know how to use it?
Caleb smiled.
Yes, sir.
Good. I'm also promoting you to colonel. We need a clean chain of command.
As you say, sir, Caleb replied, a slightly amused look on his face.
Liberators, you've already met Colonel Carr down in the field. He saved all your lives.
Yes, sir,
the Liberators replied.
Welcome to the team, Sergeant Walt said.
Caleb stared at her for a moment, hesitating before nodding.
Thank you, Sergeant.
Time's wasting, Pyro said. Welcome back aboard, Colonel Card. General, permission to prep for launch.
Granted. Sergeant Walt, get your gear stowed and ready. Colonel Card with me.
Caleb followed Nathan up the stairs to the main deck.
What's the situation, General?
Caleb asked once they were clear of the unit.
The soldiers below know me as General James Stacker. I prefer to stay that way.
Roger that.
They also don't know about Sheriff Duke. I can't keep them from finding out, but I prefer to leave them in the dark as long as possible. I don't expect trouble under the circumstances, but it's better to be discreet.
Agreed.
We'll head to the weapons cache first. With any luck, the area will be clear and we can recover some of the more advanced ordnance before heading west. We used to have a comm link to Sinisco, but it went down with the city.
Understood, General.
Caleb paused.
Is there something you want to say? Nathan asked.
A couple of things, Caleb admitted. I sensed another human on the collective a couple of months back. A woman, I think. I couldn't quite reach into her to tell who she was or where she came from. Do you know anything about that?
Nathan shook his head.
I barely understand what the collective is. But if it requires any kind of technical know-how, it probably originated in Sinisco. Sheriff Duke's wife, Natalia, is one of the smartest people I've ever met. What's your other question?
It's more of a statement. Sergeant Walt is a Koron.
Nathan froze, staring at Caleb.
What exactly does that mean?
It means she's infected by a Aurelia creature similar to Ishek. The advocates were engineered from the Koron, an evolved iteration. I'm not sure what it's doing here or what its intentions are.
Does it know about Ishek?
I don't think so. Fortunately, we learned how to block out the nascent connection to the collective. It's sort of like putting a password on a computer network.
Then how did you recognize it?
Like I said, Ishek is an evolved version. We're a little more sensitive. We could probably break into it and determine its motives.
Or we can drop her out of the hold from 10 kilometers up, Nathan said.
He had decided to accept Caleb based on what he had done to help Eden Rise. He wasn't ready to start taking in every Relia refugee they came across.
It's better to be discreet, Caleb replied, using his words against him.
She can't cause any trouble without me knowing it, and I'd prefer a chance to talk to her. I just thought it was important that you were aware.
I understand.
Nathan nodded, then hesitated a moment, considering.
I'll follow your lead on this, Caleb. You know a hell of a lot more about it than I do.
I appreciate your trust.
Pull Walt aside when we lift off. It'll take about an hour to get to the weapons cache.
That far away? Caleb asked.
You can't just leave your most advanced ordnance sitting out in the open where anyone can find it, now can you?
No, sir.
You have my permission to handle Walt however you need. Find out what you need to find out. Whatever it takes.
Then he turned and walked away.